Good morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is Pastor Matthew Versaman and the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m., followed by Bible classes and Sunday school at 10:15. If you do not have a church home, we'd like to invite you to worship with us. Let us begin today's service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate whenever we come into God's presence that we confess our sins to Him and receive forgiveness from Him. So let us confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Receive God's forgiveness. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you. And Jesus did die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority in John chapter 20, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the word of God for today's message from Matthew 7. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, today we continue our sermon series on prayer. You and I live in a do-it-yourself society. Authors and speakers make a living selling techniques for self-help or self-improvement. Everything from losing weight to curing cancer to getting rich. They all assume that if you just adopt the right techniques, we will experience success. And you know how well that often works out. Likewise, most popular Christian authors and speakers on prayer reinforce this notion that improvement in prayer depends on us. Our knowledge, our attitude, our strength, and our technique. Nothing could be further from the truth. Such authors promise to empower us and make us experts in prayer. Their basic assumption is that prayer is something we do by ourselves. The problem with such books is that they assume our prayer problems are simply a technique problem, or an attitude problem, and they assume we have the strength in and of ourselves to be experts in prayer. We don't. Our prayer life often looks like the person who tells his sick friend Bob, "Bob, I'll pray for you." But, as usual, we fail to do so. And then when we see Bob coming towards us at Walmart, we're struck with a moment of panic, so we quickly say, "Dear God, please help Bob." And then when Bob approaches, we say, "Hey, Bob, been praying for you." Sadly, that's oftentimes what our prayer life looks like. The truth is, we do not have the strength we need in ourselves to be experts in prayer. Prayer is a gift that accompanies the father-child relationship that we've been given with God through Jesus' forgiving blood and by the Spirit of God given to us. But how does Jesus' shed blood enable us to use the gift of prayer? Romans 5 says, since we have been declared righteous through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. Notice it's all a gift. Our relationship with God is a gift of Jesus' forgiving blood. Our peace with God, our access to God, and God's grace in which we now stand. These are all the gifts of God that lead us to, prompt us to, and strengthen us to pray. The gift of prayer is flowing from the gifted relationship and all that goes with that relationship with God. Hebrews 4. Since we have a sympathetic high priest, Jesus, who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thus, you and I enjoy and use the gift of prayer, knowing that by the Spirit, we have a welcoming and loving Father, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, and we know that a loving Father longs to hear His children spend time with Him and talk to Him. Only dysfunctional families don't talk. Secondly, since Jesus is our faithful High Priest, who by His death obtained eternal redemption for us, we are redeemed, whose blood has removed every barrier between us and God, we are reconciled, and whose blood has secured a favorable reception from God, He wants to spend time with His children and hear us, who always, meaning Jesus, lives to intercede to God on our behalf, He's already praying to God for our needs and that God would receive us favorably, and whose forgiveness makes us children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. As a result, Romans 8 calls us co-heirs with Christ. What does that mean? That God's entire kingdom is now as much ours as it is Christ. And God longs to give everything to us that He gives to Jesus. Thus, Jesus empowers us by His forgiving blood to pray with Him, even as He prays for us. These are additional gifts that Jesus does that enables us to pray. Finally, Jesus pours His Spirit into our hearts in baptism. To empower us to pray. Romans 8, He has given us the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and sighs that words cannot express. The Spirit not only assures us we are God's children, He not only assures us that we will receive a favorable reception from the Father, He not only prompts us to call God Abba, Daddy, Father, but we're also told that there are times in our lives when we're suffering so greatly, when we're at the end of our rope and we can't put our pain into words, that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and sighs that words cannot express. When the storm is so ferocious we don't know what to pray for, we can simply cry out to Jesus or the Spirit, pray for me, or Lord have mercy. sort of like a speechless infant to his or her mother. And the mother knows what her baby needs much more than the baby does. We can even ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit when we can't put our prayers into words, pray for me. And they do, and they will, and they have. Having been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, you can hand yourself over to Jesus and over to the Holy Spirit, asking them to pray for you when you can't find the words to say, and to let them pray for you to the Father as you simply cry in their embrace or rest in their embrace. Now, most of us pray when we're in trouble, but we find it hard to pray regularly, even when we want to do so. Why? Same problem. We don't have the strength in and of ourselves. As a result, we often treat prayer sort of like a spare tire that we pull out of the trunk of our hearts when our lives break down on the road of life. The truth is, prayer is God's doing, and it's His gift, and He does it with us, and He does it for us. Prayer is a gift flowing from knowing that you are reconciled to God the Father through the blood of God the Son by the power of the Spirit who convinces you that you're included in Jesus' all-forgiving death and His death-defeating resurrection. Now, Jesus assumed His disciples would pray, but He differed from other religious teachers. Other teachers taught method, how to pray, and content, what to pray for. But they rarely prayed with their disciples. For them, it was all book work. When Jesus' disciples asked Him to teach them to pray, He actually gave them and us the gift of the Lord's Prayer, and He invited them and us to join with Him and He with us in praying the Lord's Prayer. What a gift! And the gift of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives us to pray is actually quite remarkable in three ways. As we are taught, Our Father in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, Jesus is actually sharing His sonship with us. When you pray, say, Our Father, and you are being invited to be sons and daughters of God the Father. Number two, Jesus involves us in His own saving mission. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But as we join Him in this mission and pray for this mission, we are actually being incorporated and involved in the mission that actually saves us, that brings the kingdom to us, and that does God's will to save us in us. And then thirdly, the third remarkable part of the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus identifies Himself with us in our plight. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And protect us from temptation and deliver us from evil. First, Jesus gets us to join with Him as He prays to His Heavenly Father. Now, were it not for Jesus' forgiving blood, we would have no right to pray to God, no access with God, and no favorable reception from God. It is only Jesus' forgiving blood and faith in Him as our Savior, our intercessor, that restores our relationship with our Heavenly Father so that we can pray, as Ephesians 3:12 says, in Christ and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In fact, by teaching us to pray our Father together with Him, Jesus is actually giving us the same status that He has as God's Son. We are sons and daughters of God. Jesus is telling us this when He tells us to pray our Father. In other words, we pray to God the Father with all of the rights and privileges that Jesus himself has now that we are forgiven all of our sins and covered with the very righteousness of Christ himself. This is how God receives us as sons and daughters through Jesus. To state this more clearly, by giving us the Lord's Prayer and praying it with Jesus, with us, Jesus is including us in his relationship with his Father. Jesus allows us to pray to God as if we were Jesus himself, standing in his shoes, so to speak. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love of the Father, that we should be called the children of God, and that is who we are." How? Baptism. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. And so now we can approach the throne of God's grace and mercy, so to speak, in the status of Jesus and in the shoes of Jesus as sons and daughters of God. But it gets even better. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus does not merely address God as his Father, but as our Father. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to pray, "Our daily bread, our forgiveness, and for our protection in temptation and evil." Do you see what is going on here? Jesus is here assuming our needs, our sins, and our temptations as our Savior. Jesus joins himself to us in our plight so that we can be joined to him in his rescue and deliverance and borrow everything from him. He swaps places with us. He prays to God as if he is our sin, and we pray to God as if we were God's Son, with all the rights and privileges of Christ himself. Jesus puts us on the same footing with God that he has and helps us pray to God as if we were Jesus himself. Luther says, "In prayer we ascend with Jesus, in his skin and on his back." You may have never thought of this, but Jesus also teaches us to pray by sending needy people into our lives whose needs we cannot meet on our own. In Luke 11, Jesus tells the parable. Jesus said, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' I tell you, he will answer you from inside his house, 'Don't bother me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence or bothering, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." Here, Jesus compares God the Father with a grumpy next-door neighbor. Now, like the person in the parable, we are often confronted with needy friends and neighbors who require something of us, physically or spiritually, that we cannot by ourselves provide. But Jesus not only allows such needy people to enter our lives, he actually sends such needy people into our lives to teach us to pray to God on their behalf. We become intercessors for them to God through Christ and by the Spirit. For example, what help can we give to someone who is dying of cancer or who lost their faith in Jesus? Like the person in the parable, we have nothing to set before them by ourselves. Yet we do have access to a friend next door, our Heavenly Father, who has all that we lack at his disposal. And so he invites us to borrow or take from him all that is needed for others by asking him to provide for their needs. Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer so that we know how to pray for others, so that we can use it quite boldly to borrow the full range of what people need spiritually and physically from our Heavenly Father for their needs. Jesus makes it quite clear in his word that the point of praying is, finally, to receive gifts from God. Matthew 7, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. We don't need to wear God down by pestering him. He is not a reluctant neighbor who is unwilling to give us gifts. Jesus gives us a restored relationship with his Father in which we have the same status as Jesus himself, and Jesus gives us his own prayer, and he prays with us, and he empowers us with his Holy Spirit to pray, and then we use the gift of prayer to receive the good things that God has already promised that he wants to give us and others. So to speak, prayer is cashing in on God's promises, and our Heavenly Father is not a reluctant giver. The problem lies with us. We're reluctant to ask for what God longs to give. In fact, when we pray with Jesus by the Spirit, our Heavenly Father goes above and beyond what we ask for and gives us so much more. Ephesians 3:20 promises, he gives us far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. In Matthew 7, Jesus then asked them, his disciples, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him through the gift of prayer that comes along with the gift of being reconciled to God? Jesus' argument is, once again, from lesser to greater. That is, if even sinful fathers give good gifts to their children when they ask, how much more will our very good, very merciful, and all-loving Father give good gifts to us when we ask him? So what is it that is preventing our reception of God's gifts? James 4, you do not have because you do not ask God, or you do not receive, for when you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In the end, Jesus compares prayer to knocking on the door of his Father's house. And he's got one more gift to give. He says, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now think about this. When children knock on the door of their parents' house, and the parents either know that their children are coming over, or they notice that it is their children, loving parents don't crack the door and say, what do you want? No, they whip the door open, invite their children into their home, oftentimes with a hug, and then they start talking. Like loving parents, when we come and knock on the door of our Heavenly Father's house in prayer, we don't just receive stuff from our Heavenly Father. No, he invites us in, into his home, into his presence, into his good graces, into his embrace. Thus, when we pray, We don't just receive stuff from God. We receive the Father himself and are received by the Father himself. This is the unexpected bonus of prayer, that we receive both God himself in all of his mercy and welcoming love, together with the gifts he really wants to give us when we pray to him in Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as children, as sons and daughters, who, although we don't deserve it, we take you at your word that we have been reconciled to you through the death of Jesus and by his forgiving blood. And we also trust indeed that you have poured your Holy Spirit into our hearts in baptism or through the word of God, so that we can and do cry out to you, Abba, Daddy, Father. Not only so, but we know that when Jesus taught us to pray his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and he taught us to pray our Father, we come to you today together with Jesus, together with the Holy Spirit, and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray, Father, that in your grace, knowing our needs and our wants even better than we do, and trusting that you are a Father who wants to give good things to your children, we pray for your blessings upon us. We pray that you would bless us and take care of us according to your will, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and in every way, and that you would grant us all that we need, and if it be thy will, much of what we want, as we live out our days for you, until we live with you, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. We want to thank you again for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Matthew Versemann. We invite you again to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. followed by Bible class and Sunday school at 10:15. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to see it continue, please call us at Trinity Lutheran Church at 217-422-3630. And now may you have a blessed week in Jesus Christ our Savior. God bless.